Sunday morning, and as I'm driving up Blunder Road to get to church, there's barely a car on the road, which is good because I'm trying to not speed, but you know, do the speed limit to make sure that I get to church on time. Until, of course, I come up to two perfectly timed cars in sync, one in each lane so that I can't get through. And it seems that both of them don't realise that Blunder Road's speed limit is actually 70 rather than 60. And not only that, it's Sunday morning, so Doris doesn't have a care in the world, and so she's putting along at 10k's below the speed limit. So here we are, crawling along at 50k's an hour in a 70k zone, and I'm in a hurry to get to church. Now, as you can imagine, my blood pressure is starting to go up. As each second passes by, I get more and more and more frustrated. I begin to wonder what cereal blocks these women got their license from. As I get more and more angry. Even as I get closer and closer to church, I find myself getting more and more angry. Now, that particular situation might not seem particularly familiar to you, but I reckon all of us, even if we haven't experienced that exact thing on a Sunday morning, though I'm sure many of you have, the kind of the pressure to get the family going, to get to church, and people just being slow, even if you haven't experienced that, you've probably experienced something similar. We face frustrating situations all the time where we feel ourselves losing our temper. It's part and parcel of every day in a broken world. Something or someone will frustrate or irritate you today. The book of Proverbs is full of proverbs about anger and about wrath. And as we look at the book today, this book isn't going to rid you of your anger. It's not going to remove it completely. In fact, it might even incite some of you to it. But God doesn't actually want you to be completely free of anger, as we'll see a little bit later on. But hopefully, this talk will help you to get anger a little bit more right as we hear from God's word this morning. Now, we started looking at the book of Proverbs last week. The book of Proverbs is all about the way of wisdom. You and I need to get wisdom because we don't actually have it by ourselves. Wisdom isn't something that just comes to us naturally. We need God to give it to us. And so Proverbs is all about giving us instruction and understanding. It's all about giving us insight so that we can grow in wisdom rather than just walking along in folly. True wisdom is found in God and His knowledge of how to live in the world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you want to live wisely, if you want to have life, if you want to have peace, then you will get them through wisdom, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. So, for the next 3 weeks, pastors from the three Grace Bible churches are going to be looking at three themes in Proverbs, and we're going to be rotating around the churches. Dave's going to be looking at wisdom in words next week, and then the week after, Craig is going to be looking at wisdom in work. But I'm starting off this morning with wisdom in wrath. Now, as you can probably guess, it doesn't quite, like, it was trying to fit it into our W theme, so you just have to kind of run with it as we look at wisdom in wrath. Now, wrath is extreme anger, and it begins with W to fit into our series as we look at these three W's of wisdom. And today we're going to look at what wisdom has to say about anger or wrath. Now, we want to hear God this morning, and so normally I would encourage you to have your Bibles open as a way to do that, and in fact, I would still encourage you to do that. But Proverbs is 31 chapters long, and as you know, like all the Proverbs about wrath and anger aren't just in a neat row, they appear all over the place. So we are going to be jumping all around the place and quite quickly this morning. So I've tried to put all the verses up on the screen, which I don't usually do, but so that you can find them quickly and easily this morning. The central message for this morning is use your anger wisely by using it for God's glory. Use your anger wisely by using it for God's glory. And our first point this morning is woe, anger. You can feel it welling up deep inside you, can't you? Anger is hard to define or describe, but we all know what it feels like. It's intense displeasure, which we can find ourselves feeling anywhere or any time. Anger, wrath, has a physical response to it, doesn't it? You start to get tense, your palms go sweaty, you begin to breathe more deeply and more quickly, and in not long, you feel like you want to explode with screaming rage. Or else you bottle it up and just passive-aggressively let it out over time. Anger can be anything from just mild displeasure all the way through to burning anger and wrath. Now, anger often catches us by surprise, don't we? We kind of think, oh, whoa, okay, all of a sudden I'm angry, didn't know where that came from. But it actually shouldn't, because anger is a powerful, God-given emotion that was designed to move us. We all experience anger. It is universal. Most, if not all of us, struggle with anger from at least in one degree or another. It doesn't matter how old you are or where you live. Now, maybe you think a pastor shouldn't say this, but it's true that I have a problem with anger, and you probably do too. In fact, I would be very surprised if there's a single person in this room who doesn't struggle with anger in one way or another. Anger is a very clear sign that things aren't going our way. God's designed anger so that we can actually realize, and it's an assessment, a barometer of the environment around us. It's always in response to a threat, whether real or imagined, that makes us feel wronged on the inside. Anger always comes from a feeling of injustice, whether that is real or imagined. Anger is the result of the moral judgment that we make about a situation. We decide that something is wrong, and because of that, we're going to be angry. When we're angry, we appoint ourselves as judge, jury, and executioner. Anger is always a response to something that's happened, but you don't feel frustrated because of events. You get frustrated because of your beliefs. It's what you think about something that's happened that actually causes us to get angry. We talk about something making us angry, don't we? So-and-so made me angry, or that situation got me angry. And there's all kinds of triggers and circumstances that give rise to our anger. Disappointment, failure, disagreement, stress, betrayal, finances, exhaustion. But we can choose how we respond. David Pallison says, anger does not happen to you, you do anger. Anger doesn't happen to you, you do anger. And so it's how we handle our anger that matters. We say, he made me angry, but no, I was angry at what he did. And we know this because if you put two people in the same circumstances, one will very often get angry and the other won't. We'll put ourselves in the same situation in public or in private, and we'll respond differently. We can actually control our anger. See, when we're in public, we might be worried about getting embarrassed, and so we won't get angry. But in the same circumstances happen at home, then we'll let rip. Anger is a response to circumstances that we have some kind of control over, and anger is also relational. We get angry with political figures, leaders, bosses, other road users, even the Sheila on TV. Sometimes we're even angry at ourselves. We may well even be angry at God. But because anger is relational, it has the greatest effect on the people that we're closest to. Parents, kids, spouse, friends. And so they're also the ones that we tend to hurt the most when we're angry. Anger's mission is always to respond to wrong by destroying something. When we are angry, we are on a moral crusade to do something about the wrong. We want to right the wrong. Anger is us being determined to do something about the injustice that we feel has happened. And so there are a number of ways, both good and bad, that we can respond to anger. And so we're going to look at three different ways this morning. Three different ways that we can respond to anger, and we need wisdom to know how to manage this powerful emotion. First way is to blow anger. The first way that we can respond in anger is by blowing our top, which I'm sure many of us are quite familiar with this one. You want to just give someone else both barrels because you are so incensed. The louder you are, the more damage you do, the more holes you make, the better. Now, this is one way you can respond, but it is not the godly way to respond. The godly way to respond is not to blow up in anger. Often people call it blowing up in their anger venting your anger. There's a lot of literature out there that says that this is a really healthy way to respond. Don't bottle it up, people say. Just let it out. Get it out there. But what's wrong with just blowing off a little bit of steam? But the Bible teaches us that it's not the most helpful way to respond. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Because there is nothing good about a quick temper. It is foolish. The reason it isn't a good idea to vent is because venting your anger actually intensifies it. It encourages you to wallow in it, to dwell in it, rather than to deal with it. Flying off the handle doesn't actually help things. It makes things worse. Because blowing up gives unbridled control to our emotion. When the red mist descends, I end up doing stuff that I otherwise couldn't imagine doing because I'm no longer in control. When I give over control to my rage, I'm no longer thinking rational ways. And that's when anger has disastrous effects, when there's no restraint. The danger of anger without checks and balances is that we do even more wrong. Even as we're obsessed about how we've been wronged, when we actually pour fuel on the fire when we blow up by sinning even more. Venting arouses sin rather than diminishing it, the very thing that we really want to be done. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Our hot-headed response, our rage in response to something that's been done to us, actually causes us to sin more. In anger, we often say things that we don't mean and we can never take back. 29:20. An angry person stirs up An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Oh, I've got myself lost. There we go. No, we should be on 29:20. They're just two verses away from each other. Got me confused. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. We need to be careful that in our rage, we don't say something we regret later. And we need to be careful that we don't do things that we regret later. Chapter 19, verse 19 talks about the hothead who repeatedly does the same stuff over and over again to get himself in trouble. 14:17, a quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. We do things that will cause other people to hate us. When I first started working, my first real job was in a service station, and we had a really nice, simple, honest guy who worked many of the graveyard shifts. Then one day, he just didn't come to work anymore. Didn't know what had happened to him, had no idea where he'd gone, why he didn't turn up at work anymore. Until a few months later, a letter turned up in the post, addressed to the service station's staff that was put up on the notice board. One night, he'd got angry at his father, punched and killed him. Now he was in jail. He was alone. One of the few people that he could think to write to were the guys that he'd worked with in the service station in his job. One angry move meant that he was cut off from his daughter, who he no longer was allowed to see, and meant that in many ways his life was ruined. Some people do the opposite of blowing up, though. We try to hold it in, which is actually just as bad, if not worse. because their anger grows into bitterness and resentment and all kinds of other problems along the way. It tears you up before, though, eventually you tear others up, because anger sooner or later will come gushing out if you don't deal with it carefully. It shouldn't surprise us that letting our anger out in an unbridled way without any control over it makes things worse. Our goal then, when we're wrong, should be to de-escalate things, to not stir others up to anger. 30 verse 33, for as a churning cream produces butter and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. If you're going to mix cream for ages, you're going to end up with butter. If you twist someone's nose, ouch, it's going to bleed. So then you shouldn't be surprised that anger is going to result in strife. We'd probably say, we'd use a different proverb now, don't poke the bear. You'd be mad to. Instead, we should respond constructively. Godly anger seeks to protect those who are wronged, not return evil for evil. Our goal should be to de-escalate the situation and not make it worse. Proverbs 51:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Blowing your top just creates more strife. Blowing your top just makes other people more angry. Much better, the Proverbs say, to return with a gentle answer. Think about a good customer service agent. Customer comes to them angry. Their job is to talk the customer down, isn't it? To make the customer happy. And they're not going to help doing that by calling the customer an idiot, even if they are. Now, God doesn't say that we're in the business of customer service. Our job isn't to make the other people happy at any cost. But our job is not to make the situation worse. I saw an interesting idea this week. Yes, it's corny, childish even, but I wonder whether it might help. Perhaps you could try carrying around a plastic spoon this week in a pocket, somewhere that it's easily accessible, to remind you not to stir others up. I wonder if we carried a spoon around with us and thought about how often we work others up, I suspect we would realise that we do it a lot more than what we think we might do. So then, a godly response to anger is not to blow our anger. But equally, the second way that we can respond is by trying to never be angry. Easier said than done, I'd say. But that's actually a wrong response to anger as well. The Bible says that the answer is not no anger. There are many people who think that they never ever get angry. I'm not sure that I believe them. But even if that's true, then you still have a problem. Because you should get angry. We like black and white categories, don't we? We like to think that love is good and anger is bad. But life isn't simple as that, though, because both these actions can be used for good or for evil. Anger can be good or bad depending on the cause and how it's used. Being angry in and of itself isn't sin. Having no anger isn't biblical. It's really interesting that in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, it's not very clear in the NIV, but at the beginning there, it's actually a command. It's a command, be angry, but do not sin. Now, experts are a little bit divided on this, but I think that it is actually saying that we do need to be angry. We should be angry, but there is a big but there, isn't there? And that big but is that we should be angry, but must not sin. There is a type of righteous anger that is right and just, that in fact is good. Because the goal of anger is always to tear something down. Injustice needs to be torn down. God has given us the capacity to be angry just like he himself is. It's one of God's attributes that he is angry. And so we're not sinning when we are angry like he is. In fact, I think I would go as far as to say, to ask how we could not be angry when God is. There are a whole heap of things in our world, wrongs and injustices that it's right to get angry at. But what are the things that God got worked up about? Well, it was always evil and idolatry. It was about a lack of fairness, about betrayal. It's right when we get angry at things like poverty and domestic violence, prostitution, human trafficking, corruption, feeding addiction of others, for the sake of our own gain. When it comes to these things, anger isn't actually optional. When it comes to wickedness, it is right to be angry at the things that offend God. But when Jesus got angry, it was always at things done towards others and not towards him personally. It was always when God was affronted, not him himself. It's not sin to get upset at wickedness and downright evil. It's actually godly to be upset at those things. Most of us could probably do with a bit more righteous anger in our lives. Being angry at the kind of blatant wickedness that we so quickly turn our eyes from. The kind of evil that God cares about and yet so often we turn our backs on. We don't want to have no anger. But we obviously need to be really careful with this. Now, there is actually some debate amongst the Christian community about whether you actually can have righteous anger because it's so potentially dangerous. And isn't it interesting that Paul, immediately after he says, be angry, he says that you can't allow it to go on unchecked. It's not allowed to carry on or it'll become destructive. Even righteous anger needs to be kept in its place because our sinful hearts will pervert it all so easily. Anger isn't sinful when it's motivated by love. I think that's actually one of the best rules to measure it by. How do I know whether my anger is righteous? Well, what is it that I'm loving? The thing we need to be careful about is that we're not angry when we're loving ourselves, but I'll talk more about that later. Righteous anger comes out of a love for God and a love for others. So when you're angry, it's important to give yourself a hard examination. Am I acting out of self-interest or am I acting out of love for God or for other people? Do I care about justice or just me? Godly anger is actually meant to be constructive and not destructive. It's meant to bring right and justice into the world. It's meant to bring righteousness. It is right to be angry at wickedness and injustice, and so there is a place for righteous anger. The biblical way isn't to blow our anger or to have no anger. The biblical way to respond is with slow anger. Now, how does that fit in, you might wonder, with don't let the sun go down? Well, saying that we need to have slow anger isn't the same thing as that we need to get rid of our anger quickly. It means that we actually need to be slow and careful about being angry in the first place. Self-control is actually the key to diffusing the anger bomb rather than causing it to explode. We need to be slow to get angry. Like a car with a good cooling system, we need hearts that don't overheat too quickly. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Notice that doesn't mean that there's not ever moral outrage, there's not concern about injustice, but that we would be even-tempered, not blowing our top. The reason that we need to be slow to anger is not, though, so that we can work out how to get our own back. After all, revenge is a dish best served cold, isn't it? A proverb, but not one from the Bible. Beware of the temptation to fight evil for evil. That's often what we try to do with anger. We get worked up and we want to respond one evil with another. But that's not going to make anything better. Proverbs 24:29, do not say, I'll do to them as they've done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did. No. We're to be slow to anger to make sure that we're being angry for the right reasons. But most of all, we're meant to be slow to anger because that's what God is like. A number of times in the Old Testament, God is described as being slow to anger. Now, that doesn't mean that he's light on sin. He takes sin very seriously. There is a day when he will judge and deal with sin once and for all. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13. Therefore I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. God is angry because of sin. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. And yet his anger is slow. He doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't respond in anger as his first response. God is patient with people, and we should be too. Chapter 14, verse 29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. God is patient with people. When we sin, he doesn't just smite us out that instant. God gives us a chance. Jesus is the model of slow anger. In John chapter 2, which we looked at last year, Jesus goes into the temple and he gets angry, but he doesn't fly off the handle. He calmly sits down. He makes a whip before driving out those who are preventing and perverting worship in God's temple. His response is very slow and deliberate. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get angry, there is often a moment of decision, a moment of choice. When I choose whether I'm going to be angry or not, sometimes it only lasts for a millisecond, but it's when I choose whether I'm going to be angry. Often people will say, but I can't help being angry. And yet there's some situations, aren't there, where you will almost never be angry, where you will choose to control your anger, and other situations where you'll let fly. Being slow to anger gives us time to assess ourselves. And number one, check the facts. Do you actually understand the situation correctly? Often we're angry because we don't take a second to walk in the other person's shoes. We make a snap judgment without all the data, and we actually get angry for the wrong reasons. When we see things from their perspective, often our moral outrage subsides, and we realize that we're actually angry because of a misunderstanding. Be humble enough to realize that you may have just got the situation plain wrong. Think of Potiphar. He was not happy at the young Joseph attacking his wife. He was right to get angry that someone was attacking his wife. Except it didn't actually happen, did it? He was angry for the wrong reason. And so we need to have humility. We need to check our facts. We need to make sure that we are getting angry for the right reasons. But secondly, and this is probably the biggest one, we need to check our hearts. Because oftentimes, we get angry. In fact, I would go as far as to say usually, we don't get angry because of something that's right or wrong. We get angry because of our preferences. Our anger is self-centered. We're not really actually upset that the transgression occurred. We're actually upset that the transgression has occurred to us. See, we wouldn't be worried about the transgression if it had happened to someone else. But yet, we fly off the handle because that has happened to us. It's a double standard. And so we need to confront and interrogate our own anger. Now, the problem with anger is that you would never be angry if you didn't think you were in the right. We always get angry because we think that we are taking the moral high ground. You're not just angry because you think that you're right. You're angry because you know that you're right. There is no one who feels more justified than the person who feels wronged. Chapter 18, verse 19. A brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes are like barred gates of a citadel. Someone who is wronged is not going to give up. They don't think they're right. They know that they're right. And that's one of the problems. Because often, even as we think that we're right, we don't realize how wrong that we are. Anger is about what you love. And more importantly, it's about when something you love is threatened. But often we are angry because of a misplaced love. We don't get angry because someone's offended God or someone has offended other people. We get offended because it's something that we love. Where we get caught up is most of the time that we're not actually angry at injustice. We're angry that other people aren't fulfilling our expectations. But are our expectations godly? Are they even reasonable? See, is it reasonable for me to be angry at the car that's making me late for church? Well, no, because they're not actually really doing the wrong thing. Yes, it'd be nice if they were doing the speed limit. It'd be more convenient for me. But they're not actually doing anything that's majorly wrong. Think of Jonah, who is angry at God for removing the tree that had provided him shade. But he was just being selfish. Often we're angry because we try to blame others because there is actually no one to blame. I remember one morning getting angry at losing my glasses. I need my glasses to drive. I only had one pair. And the longer and longer I went on, the angrier and angrier I got. I was so glad that no one walked into the room at that moment because I think I would have completely lost control of my emotions because I'd lost control of the situation. But really, what was driving me was my own embarrassment that I was going to be late for the meeting that I was headed for. I wasn't actually that bothered that I couldn't find my glasses. What was actually driving me was that I was going to be late. Now, of course, it turned out that my glasses were in their case the whole time, the one place that I thought they couldn't be. But that only makes the situation worse. Whereas I was going to use another example from my kids because it was recent. Actually, there were some examples that I realized there are two or three things that I was actually tempted two or three times to get angry just as I was cleaning my teeth this morning. But I want to share another trivial example and expose it to you. I remember coming home one night expecting to have a particular meal for dinner. I'd been looking forward to it all day. Courtney had said that that's what we were going to have for dinner. But it turned out that something had changed and for some reason we couldn't have it. And I felt wronged. I felt cheated. And believe it or not, as trivial as that was, I felt anger. What was really going on? Was I really wronged? Was I really defending something that I couldn't possibly live without? No, it was just that my preferences weren't being met. That's anger being used in the wrong way. That's not slow, careful, considered, and thoughtful anger. Ask yourself, does your anger focus on God and His will or on my will? But just because we've been sinned against doesn't necessarily mean that our anger is righteous. See, often we get angry and we go, but they sinned against me. And yes, that is true. But that doesn't always mean that we should be angry. Just because it violates God's law doesn't mean that it makes our anger right. Anger is about us wanting justice. We're saying that God is not doing the right thing. And if God is not doing the right thing, and if He's allowing this to happen, then we're going to take control and take our justice into our own hands. We're going to do something about it, even if God's not. We're trusting in ourselves to deal with it rather than the Lord. It's a failure to trust in His control. And that's certainly not what Jesus did when He went to the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. Here, Peter says, undoubtedly, you will be wrong. You will be wronged. You will be persecuted. But follow the example of Jesus. He didn't get angry, He didn't retaliate, He didn't make threats. He left the judgment up to the Lord. We want to take judgment into our own hands, but vengeance is the Lord. That's what God does for us. Chapter 19, verse 11, a person's wisdom yields patience or slow anger, in us other translations, is one's glory to overlook offense. Because in overlooking offenses, we are actually being like God himself. Why does God overlook offenses? Why is he slow to anger? Well, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us it's so that he could show us his love and his mercy. God allowed himself to be wronged so we could be loved. By being slow to anger, it gives us the opportunity to love other people, to do good to them and win them over. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. The righteous person wants the situation not to end in justice being served, but in the person being won over to good. And so the response, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, is to love our enemies when they have wronged us. Which, interestingly, is very much the same thing that we get in the book of Proverbs. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, stepping back, being slow to anger and allowing God to meter out justice takes a great deal of self-control. It's difficult. It's not easy, but it's important. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 tells us, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. It is hard, but it is more powerful to be self-controlled, to hold back and to be patient with other people than to be a warrior who attacks a city. To give other people time to repent, to give us time to forgive. The better way to respond is with forgiveness. Now, most of us would agree that forgiveness is the right course of action in every case except for one, which is mine. But we need to repent of our desire to do what is God's job, which is the job of judging, and instead forgive other people when they have wronged us. To forgive like God has forgiven us. And it is only when we are slow to anger that we can possibly do that. Anger can be used for good or for ill. But because God is slow to anger, does that mean that you think that you are getting away with your sin? Isaiah 48, verse 9, for my own name's sake I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise I hold it back from you so as not to destroy you completely. Friends, with anger, when we sin, we are playing with fire. It needs to be used wisely. In the ancient world, the king had power over life and death. The wise person would avoid getting him angry because upsetting him wasn't a good plan. A king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. Even as we get angry, if we sin, that stirs up God's wrath towards us. God is angry because of our sin. If it is dangerous to upset a king on earth, how much more the king of the universe? God will judge us for the sin that we commit in our anger. Be sure of this, Proverbs 11:21. The wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. How can we appease God's anger at our sin? Well, the Bible's answer is that we can't, but he can. God is angry at our sin, but he poured out his anger on himself. Not only was God willing to overlook our offense, He went one step further. He was willing to take the consequences of his offense, the offense towards him upon himself. God's wrath that should have come down on us was diverted onto Jesus if we're Christians. Jesus' atoning sacrifice was a propitiation, which means when God's wrath came down, it didn't land on us, it landed on Jesus. God's Son took God's wrath upon himself. That's how God's gracious love is shown to us. Even in his anger, he shows us his love and mercy. He took the anger that we deserve upon himself. So even as we deal with others, even as we respond to them, how, if we have experienced this great love and mercy, can we not be motivated to respond in the same way? To be like God, who, even though we are wronged, to respond with mercy, grace, and forgiveness. That is the way of wisdom in wrath. To not respond in kind, to not respond evil with evil, but instead to respond with love and God's mercy. Let's ask for his help to do that now. Almighty God, how confronting it is to look in the mirror of our souls, and see our anger for what it is. Rarely righteous as it should be, and yet often flying off the handle for wrong motivations. Father, help us. Give us the strength. Be at work in us by your Holy Spirit to be slow to anger, to assess our motives, to overlook offense, as you indeed have done for us. May the cross be so clear in our lives. May your love and mercy so fill us that it would overflow from us, especially at those moments where we're tempted to sin in our anger. Lord, help us, teach us to be people who live and walk in upright and self-controlled lives in these last days. Have mercy on us so that we may have mercy on others. In Jesus' name, amen.